Well, happy Thanksgiving. For those of you I haven't met yet, man, there's a lot of you in here. Did you not have stuff to do? Oh, it's so good to see all of you. If I haven't met you, my name's Jason. I'm one of the pastors here, and I want to continue in this mode of worship by talking to you about something that is common to every human that I've ever met. One of the most ubiquitous experiences that each of us have, and that I think we will continue to experience as long as culture is the way that it is and our world is the way that it is, and it's this. I went the other night to pick up some prescriptions from CVS. Now, it seems like the older I get, the more time I'm spending at CVS, which is weird. But I ordered, picked up a couple of things. There were three things on the list that I paid for. Took out the card, paid for it, and this is what's common to everybody, is this was my receipt from CVS for the three things that I bought. You've experienced this too? Right? Why do they do, I do not understand. There's like three items, I'm not going to tell you what they are because that's embarrassing. And then there's all these other benefits. You know, there's a dollar off coupon, $2 extra rewards, 30% off. So many things I didn't ask for that I got. And then I went yesterday with Charlotte, my youngest. We went to what they used to call the man store. It's Home Depot, but I taught them well when they were kids. And it's one of my favorite places, especially to go with them. But I got 14 things from Home Depot. And that's the receipt size. And I think we need to do some consulting work. David in the psalm that Pastor Megan had us memorize, which let's just see if we can say it without any prompts. Let's see if we got it. You ready? One, two, three. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. You guys are amazing. Well done. Sometimes I think that our ability to be grateful is hampered by our propensity to be forgetful. You and I have lived a life with more blessing, more things to be grateful for, more moments where God has shown up in our lives than we could possibly count. It looks like this. But a bunch of us have memories like this. What I want to do for the next just couple of minutes is to talk to you about what I would title this message as the longest receipt in the world. And it's not this one. See, David has to tell himself, and you caught that's what he's doing. He's talking to himself, right? He's saying, self, soul, bless the Lord. Choose to remember all the things that he's done for you. And the reason why he has to do that is because he, like you and me, is super forgetful. Tonight, we're going to have a moment for you to list out, to create your own receipt of what God has done for you. We're going to do that after I'm done talking, and then we're going to give you the opportunity to go practice what David said. Forget not all his benefits. But before, I just want to remind you of a few of the benefits that you have. And I may not know you or your story yet, but I don't have to. Because I know some things that David says God has done for all of us who are in Christ Jesus. So here's the way the rest of that scripture goes. Psalm 103, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And then he lists them. He forgives all my sins. He heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death. Your translation might say from the pit. And crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like an eagle's. This is the word of the Lord. I don't know if you're like this, but for a while in my life, I was obsessed with keeping receipts. Anybody have the drawer or the fruit bowl or the something in your house? Yeah, you've got one where all the receipts get kept. And it was because you're always worried if the IRS is going to need them one day or if some warranty is going to be called upon. You have to have the receipt, right? We love to take receipts and keep them. And I think about the fact that, man, if we practice this with God's goodness to us, if we held on to all of those moments, you know what a receipt is? It's proof of something that you've received. David starts intentionally with the most important thing. Before he gets to anything else, he says, God forgives all my sins. God is not like us with this obsession to hold on to a receipt from the past, our past failures, our past brokenness. From the places that you and I tend to go back to, maybe, yes, we've confessed a sin, we've decided we're going to do something different, we've put into practice ways of changing our life, and then something happens 2 years later, and we act out of a response or muscle memory, and all of a sudden, all the shame comes rushing back. All of the guilt comes rushing back. It's like we pull out the receipt and look at it again. You know, God never does that. Whenever you go before a judge, and maybe you've been cited for something, and you show up at court because, you know, you're one of those folks that's not just going to pay the fine and let it be. You are going to fight for justice. And the judge hears the case. And have you ever had that experience or seen this where the judge decides, like, you know what? Yeah, we're just gonna pronounce you innocent. We're going to throw it out. Sometimes a judge will do what's called expunging your record. Don't raise your hand, but anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah, where even the record of your failure is gone. Not only does he pronounce you innocent, but nobody can ever look back in your file and find that moment of your mistake. See, with God, your biggest mistake, your biggest failure, it is not your defining moment. Some of us need to be reminded this Thanksgiving that God has forgotten, he has shredded the receipt of your past. In fact, it goes even further. It says that he took it and he exchanged it. He gave that to Jesus, and Jesus said, I'll take your record and you take mine of perfection. Forget not the fact that you've been forgiven. Secondly, David says, he heals all my diseases. Now, I know this because we're family. And a whole bunch of you have experienced moments of sickness, illness, injury. You have a diagnosis going into this Thanksgiving that you didn't have last Thanksgiving. Stuff in your body has gone haywire, or in a family member that you love. You can't understand why in the world a child would have diabetes. You can list all of the things that have gone wrong. David says, remember that he heals everything. And here's what I know to be true. Sometimes God heals in miraculous ways in the present. I think I've told you this story maybe before, but there was a lady who came to church here about a year ago. I was so amazed. I walked out of our first, so for those of you that this is not your home, in the first service, we have classical music. It's beautiful, our choir, and I wear a suit. And then I go like Lady Gaga, and I have a wardrobe change in between services, and we come back, and in the second one, I'm in regular clothes. And I was walking across the plaza from changing clothes, and I see this lady, and she's standing here, and she says, Pastor, I have to tell you something. I got healed today. And I was like, that is amazing. Who prayed for you? No one. And I went, well, I mean, you know, come on, somebody had to pray for you. Like, we don't even get credit for that, like laying hands or putting oil or something. She goes, no, I showed up and it's my first time at church in 30 years. And I almost didn't stay. And I said, well, why didn't you want to stay? And she's like, well, I drove in the parking lot and there were no spaces close to the front. And I was thinking like, well, that's a little entitled, but I mean, I guess. And then she said, because I've had a cane and a walker that I've had to use for 40 years. And I asked God to heal me and I asked God to heal me and he wouldn't. And so I just gave up on him. I said, well, you got to tell me what happened because she's standing here with no cane, no walker. She looks perfectly fine for an 80-year-old little Asian lady. And she goes, when I walked in, I finally decided I'm going to try it anyway. And I had to park across the street at the high school. And I walked in with my cane. And when I got into the little narthex that we call it here, it's a fancy word for an atrium. When I stepped inside there, I realized I suddenly was healed. And she goes, I went and I put my cane back in the car, and I had to tell you. Standing in front of me, God heals in the present. Yeah, you should give thanks for that. And probably my favorite thing about that story is that nobody got credit but the Lord for that. We didn't have great, and we've got great prayer leaders every week down here. We have folks that are trained to pray for you, but God said just this time for just this lady that felt like she had given up on me for 30 years, I'm going to prove to her that I still heal. And he might do that for you this year. I don't know. He does. But here's what else I know. That when you and I are in Christ, whether he chooses to heal you now or heal you in eternity, you will one day be completely healed. Amen. That's every healing we have on this side of eternity is just a taste. It's just a signpost. It's just a receipt. It's just him saying, this is what I do and what I will do forever. But he doesn't just heal our physical, he heals our emotions. He heals our places of trauma. He heals our depression. This God that David says, forget not all the benefits that he's given to us, is a healer. And I just want to ask you to thank him in advance for the healing that you will one day receive. It is guaranteed. He goes on to say that he restores. My wife, Jessica, she's an artist. I've told you that before. But one of the ways that she uses her art is she loves to restore furniture. So much so that it's happened more than once, and my daughter can verify this, that we'll be driving down the road and somebody has placed an old china cabinet or a couch outside, and clearly by the way it looks, it was for good reason. And she'll be like, stop the car. And she grabs it. She's all of like 5'5". You're shaking your head. Yes, right? She does. And she'll drag the sofa in and put it in the back of the car. And I'm like, what are you doing? And she's like, do you know how beautiful this can be if we restore it? If I take all the places that are broken, if I take the fabric that's been tattered and stained and smells bad, if I replace and restore this, it can be back to its original creator's intent. That's what God does for you. It says that he rescues us from the pit. In the translation that we read, it said that he would redeem, but it means to rescue. And I don't know if you've ever been in an actual pit. Anybody? Like a real hole in the ground, deep, that you can't get out of? I didn't think so. So here's what a pit can be for you and me. It's that place of depression and anxiety that we just feel like we can't get out of no matter what. That the darkness always seems to be stronger than the light. He rescues us from the pit of our depression. He rescues us from the pit of our inability to change that habit, that pattern that you hate about yourself. Our God is a God who throughout the scriptural record reaches into the darkest, deepest pit, and he pulls people out. And I don't care if you were dumb enough to have jumped in the pit yourself. God doesn't seem to care about the reason why. He just says, I want you out. Anybody for you? Has that been your story? God's rescued you from a pit of darkness and despair. Your story doesn't end up where you messed up. If you're here, maybe you're home from college and you're joining us, or you got invited by a friend to come, and maybe you're checking out this whole idea of Jesus. I just want you to know that sometimes the reason that you show up to something like this or to church on a Sunday is because there's a little part of you that hope is still alive. You think it's possible that maybe, just maybe, there's someone that can look past your worst moment. And that's our God. That's our Jesus. In the darkest, deepest pit, he comes and he pulls us out. And then it says, he crowns us. I don't have to explain what that language means. And crowns is, that's royalty. So he takes the person who found themselves in a situation that they couldn't get themselves out of. And not only does he rescue them, but he puts a crown on their head. He adopts them into his royal family. He gives them all of the benefits of that royalty. We are heirs of all that Jesus has won. We will get to experience forever life, everlasting, ever unfolding, not a perpetual worship service. If that's the way you think about heaven, you've been sorely misguided. Although that wouldn't be too bad if we had a choir like this one. But I'm talking about life, experiences, adventure. The thing that you were made to do, you finally being free without the encumbrances of sin, both its power in your life and its power around you, to be able to fully live the way that God intended you to live, and it will never end 10,000 years after it starts. We're just getting started. Folks, David says, soul, remember what your destiny is. You have been crowned with love and mercy. You are not a reject. You are not abandoned. You are not whatever label someone gave you, you are royalty. And then it says that he satisfies. He satisfies us. You know, there's a lot of talk, and I've even quoted this some to you about this like fake or cheap dopamine. Something our culture is kind of really fascinated with right now. We get dopamine hits from all kinds of things. The little ding on your phone that you get so used to looking at. The likes on Instagram. The folks who follow you on Facebook and you watch the number grow. By the way, has anybody figured out how the algorithm is so good? Like, I will have my phone near a person and later on they're like a suggested friend or follower just because our phones were close to each other. It's scary. And fascinating. It says that, David says, he satisfies me with rich food, not cheap dopamine, not cheap. Our God is not a God of cheap thrills. He is a God of deep fulfillment. And maybe your situation in life right now is one where you just find yourself unfulfilled. Maybe it's because you got into the college that you always wanted to get into, but your experience there is not what you thought it would be. You're lonely. You can't find a friend or a group to fit into. The degree program that you just knew you were supposed to be a part of, turns out you weren't made for that, but you're a junior now. I don't know what it looks like for you that you need to find satisfaction, but David, as an example, tells us that the Lord will satisfy our deepest longings, like rich food. Before we eat turkey tomorrow, we need to feed our souls with some truth, you guys. And the truth is that we have a lot to be thankful for. I've just listed for you the five categories that David gives. And then he ends like this. He says, I will be satisfied deeply. I will be healed. I'll be rescued. I'll be crowned and I'll be forgiven so that my strength will be renewed like an eagle. You know, I never really understood what that meant. There's another verse in Isaiah 2 that talks about they'll, you know, walk and not grow weary. They'll soar like an eagle. It's kind of poetic and it looks cool on a picture, but I don't get it. Anybody know why an eagle was chosen for this? Eagles, certainly, part of it is that they soar at heights that other birds don't get to. They're above the chaos. And eagles have precision eyesight. What makes them so good at hunting is that they're able to lock in on the thing that they need and block everything else out. It's why an eagle can see a mouse from a mile away, because he's not distracted by all the other things. But I don't think that's why David uses this. Do you know that eagles can live to be 60 years old? 60 years old. Some of you are like, that's nothing. But the only way that an eagle can live and survive that long is to be restored. You know how they have to be restored? They got to grow new feathers, a complete new set of feathers. But the other thing is their beak that over time gets curled and long, and what once was used to grasp what they thought they wanted now becomes their own prison. They can't open their beak enough to be able to grab the mouse, to grab the fish, So they have to break their beak off, smashing it on a rock or on a fallen log until it gets back to a functional beak. This is what God wants to do with you and me. He wants to renew us so that we're able to enjoy the things that fulfill us the most. Some of us have gotten really comfortable just getting cheap thrills. And the Lord says, when you allow my goodness, when you allow all the benefits that I have given to you, when you allow that to become your source, you can once again enjoy what is best for your soul. And that's what I want for us for tomorrow. You're all going to go into some different situations. Pastor Megan mentioned it earlier. I don't know what your table's going to look like. I did see a really great meme yesterday on Instagram. It said, go ahead and talk about politics at Thanksgiving and you'll have fewer Christmas presents to buy. I thought that was wise advice. But whatever the situation is that you're going to walk into, I just want to ask you, what does the receipt of God's goodness in your life look like? What are you bringing to the table tomorrow? Because this is what he's actually done. He's given you the longest receipt in the world. Don't allow your memory and your gratitude and your thankfulness and your humility and your patience with the people at your table and your patience with yourself, don't allow that to be just a couple of lines. God wants to give you the freedom of thankfulness.